The scripture reading is from Mark chapter 6, 7 to 13. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them the authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we get through, as we're continuing on this sermon series of the August family worship, I think that it's really funny that we are doing a series that in front of you is a setting of camping, of canoeing, and of journeys. And we've heard so many different journeys this month. People have gone to some really awesome places. And I find it really ironic that this Sunday, the Sunday that I am preaching, is the Sunday that Alex Merchant will share his journey story, where he went hiking through the Appalachian Trail. And it's funny because I don't do any of it. I don't particularly like to go camping. I don't canoe. I don't hike. I don't really like going outside when there's bugs out. I don't like sweating. I don't like getting dirty. I'll walk for a bit until it starts where you have to go uphill and you can start feeling your breath getting really heavy. I don't really like any of that. I went camping one time as a child. It was for Girl Scouts. I was a brownie at the time, so I was about 7 years old. And we went camping in the Poconos. And we couldn't wash all week. We slept outside. There were bugs. I saw snake trails. I was not happy about that. And I believe that we ate some things that we gathered outside. Now, that was my 7-year-old memory, so it could be a little fuzzy, but that's what I remember. And we went on hikes every single day. And on one of the hiking experiences, we had to cross a man-made bridge that didn't look very sturdy to me, and it was pretty high up. And as I began to walk over the bridge, there were like slats. And through the slats, I could see the very rocky stream below. Did I tell you I can't swim? And so, needless to say, that after that experience, I came home and I quit Girl Scouts. And I vowed that I would never go camping again. Instead, I'd much rather go glamping. And glamping is where we stay in a wooded area in a very nice cabin with all of the amenities that you will want, like running water and electricity. And I get the opportunity to do what I love to do, which is to overpack. Because somehow I have in my mind that I'm going to become a different person when I go on a trip than who I am. So I have to bring all these things for who I think that I will be, so that I can look like I camp and I can look like I hike, but I'm really faking it. See, that's the thing with glamping. Glamping is really kind of like fake camping. And I would say, sign me up. I just want to look like I'm camping, experience the pretty scenery without getting dirty, to eat well and look cute. But unfortunately, glamping is furthest from our passage this morning. Jesus sends out the disciples two by two and is very specific about not glamping. He tells them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. They can wear sandals and only pack one tunic. There were no hotel accommodations. In fact, they didn't have an idea where they would rest their heads or if they would even be welcome. And I'm sure for all of us type A planners, this sounds like a nightmare. And the fact that it's mentioned that shake the dust off of your feet means that dust and dirt were expected parts of their journey. See, we also know that hospitality is a big part of Jewish culture. So there was a good chance that many would show hospitality. However, Jesus' message was not welcome by some. In fact, Jesus had just been rejected in the passage before this one, and in the passage after this one, John the Baptist is rejected. And so Jesus' representatives might just face rejection. Now, I don't picture Jesus to have been particularly fashionable. I don't really think that Jesus probably would have cared so much about fashion. So why was it that Jesus was so very specific about their packing and what seems to be their fashion choices? On the one hand, maybe it was just that Jesus was a minimalist. Jesus was saying, take only what you need, knowing that the things that they could bring might be a distraction to them. Worrying about their money and their clothing and housing would keep them distracted from the task that was at hand, which was loving their community. And that alone could preach. Or perhaps it was about safety concerns. Perhaps they're traveling with money and luggage and things that will put them at risk for robbery and violence. We already know that traveling can be dangerous. So maybe that was it. Or simply, perhaps, traveling with a bunch of things would just be physically burdensome. I know if I had to go on a journey with the way that I pack, I don't think I could get very far. But based upon the placement of this text, sandwiched between Jesus' rejection and the rejection of John the Baptist, I wonder, is it saying something else? Is there another reason? Jesus was to some a circuit teacher. The passage says that he went around the villages in a circuit teaching. And there were many people teaching in circuits at the time. And so how would they know the difference? Jesus' disciples would have been considered somewhat of like emissaries. In Hebrew, emissary comes from the word, which is shilahim, that means messenger. In Jewish law, a shilahim is a legal agent that acts as if they were the person themselves. And you find this in the Old Testament where David and the king of Babylon sends out emissaries on their behalf. In the Greek, the word that is similar to shilahim would be apostolos, which translates to apostles, which means to be sent out. Mark, in this passage, refers to the 12 as apostles. It is the only time in the book of Mark that the 12 are called apostles. So the disciples were sent out as emissaries who act in the name of Jesus. They were representatives of Jesus, acting on behalf of Jesus. Jesus who healed the sick on the Sabbath, who ate with sinners. Jesus who spoke to women. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil? He was tempted to be like the other leaders, to lift himself up, to puff up and have his own way, to make himself look good. But Jesus said, no, thank you. I'm not that kind of leader. I do the will of my Father. Jesus, who would later be the humble king that rode on a donkey. So the disciples who were sent out in the name of God, sent out in the name of Jesus, were sent out to be humble, to love, to be compassionate, to be like Jesus. And we, as disciples, are asked to do the same. But to do this, we must know that the foundation of building relationships is trust. the church then was not understood much differently than the church today. The people then had a difficult time trusting the church. People were impoverished. The Roman Empire had oppressed them and put them in bondage through taxes. People were sick and in need, and the church to them seemed like they were ignoring them. In fact, some leaders had even made alliances with the Roman Empire, and they became wealthier while the people continued to struggle. So what might glamping emissaries communicate to the people? If Jesus' disciples had come out with fancy robes, an abundance of money, what might that communicate to them? It might suggest that they were no different than the other emissaries and church leaders of the time. Perhaps it would communicate that they too would be a part of their oppression. It might communicate that they didn't understand their pain and their problems. Would they end up being just fake leaders that were robbing them? See, church today is not different to some. Prosperity gospel promised people that the more that they give, the more prosperous they would become. Oftentimes, the congregations continued to struggle in poverty while the leaders flourished. Selling holy water while people remain thirsty. Some churches, not this one, proclaim to be houses of worship while spitting out hate to different groups of people based on age, race, ethnicity, gender, or simply who they love. Leaders have been silent in advocating for the needs of others, having abused their power and victimized many, or simply been complicit and not have spoken up or advocated for those who have been victimized. Not to mention, many call us hypocrites, especially as being representatives or Shilohim of Jesus. Studies have shown that people have not left church because they don't believe, but because they don't trust the church. Can we blame some of them? This is the same issue that the church was struggling with then. So the disciples, as representative of God, were showing that they were not like the other fake emissaries and church leaders who were only looking the part, who were simply glamping in ministry. These disciples were showing that they were with the people. They were doing the work of liberating, loving, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. Now, believe it or not, sending out the disciples two by two was not simply just for fun. Yes, I'm sure that the disciples had some fun, and it was nice to have a buddy with them. Well, for the most part, because we wonder, what was it like for the person who was buddied up with Judas? I'm sure there was also safety in having a buddy with them. We can all think of messages of how it's better together, the buddy system like I talked about in the backpack minute, or two heads are better than one, and that is all true, and that'll all preach as well. And I'm sure practically it was good to have another person. Running, walking, exercising, eating, practically everything is done better when it's with someone else. In fact, that horrible Girl Scouts trip that I told you about, it was horrible to me. Other people loved it, but it was horrible to me. What made it where I was able to get over that bridge was my buddy. It was my buddy who helped me get through. So the buddy system is a great thing, and I'm sure that is a part of it. But I think this passage where Jesus sent them out two by two is for more. It's the only gospel account that says that they went out two by two. The others simply say that the apostles were sent out. In this culture, emissaries were often sent out two by two. They were sent out two by two because they could witness for one another. there was the Old Testament law that at least there needed to be two witnesses to convict a crime, and that was really because it showed that there was credibility in the testimony. So they could testify or give a testimony about the other to gain the trust of the community. It was like walking with someone who could give you a good review right on the spot. It's like walking around and having someone or something give you a recommendation on the spot, or like a Yelp review. Don't we wish we had that sometimes? I know I do. It would help to build trust a lot faster, and that was the point of this buddy system. They were sent out two by two so that they could vouch for each other and show the validity of their testimonies and their witness of Jesus the Christ. And they only had a short period of time to be able to gain that trust. So what you don't know is that on Sundays after service, I go into the computer to see our audience count online. And I also am looking at how many are here. And what I have learned that on the online, on the website of how we count it, is that who stays with us beyond 3 minutes. So that means that we have about 3 minutes, in between 30 seconds and 3 minutes, to gain people's attention. And the way that you gain attention is through trust. So we have about 3 minutes to gain people's trust. Now, in person, a person might give you one, maybe two visits to be able to say if they trust Glenmar Church. And so this is where us as witnesses, us as representatives of God, is so important. Because whenever you invite someone to online, live stream, whenever you invite someone to come here, you are saying to give Glenmar Church a chance. You are saying that their testimony about Jesus the Christ is valid. You are saying that you can trust their witness. And in a sea of options and not knowing, especially online, who you can and cannot trust, your recommendation matters. Witness from disciples is vital. So Jesus sent them out two by two to perform miracles and proclaim the kingdom of God. And it says that Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits. Jesus gave them the authority to shake up, dismantle the cosmos. And when I say cosmos, I mean the human systems of powers and principalities, corruption and oppression. They were proclaiming the kingdom of God that says evil is defeated. Not just the Roman Empire, but all empires of death and oppression. We are more than conquerors. Not only did they preach the gospel in word, but in action. It's funny to think that journeying to tell good news would be so hard. I mean, we have good news. I could see if we were journeying to tell bad news, but we have good news. Good news of how much Jesus loves us. Good news that God is not a distant God, but God is so close to us that God is Emmanuel. God is with us. The good news that we have been set free. So is it the good news that's been rejected? I don't think that. I think that people aren't rejecting the good news, but often struggling with its messengers. And so as messengers, do we believe the good news? Do we trust the authority that has been given to us? Are we willing to get dirty, uncomfortable, and get a little tired? Are we afraid of rejection? Do we truly believe? Because if we do, we can't help but to shout out and proclaim the kingdom of God. See, the apostles were sent out and told to take nothing with them. I believe this was yet another lesson for the disciples. Jesus was still teaching the disciples to trust. How can we preach the good news if we don't trust? How can we trust and preach still relying on our own things? See, when we rely on our own GPS, we miss the guidance of God. when we can't rely on our things like money and all of our objects of comfort, we learn how much God provides. When we are hungry, we find that we are nourished by God. When we are thirsty, we find living water. When we give up these things that crowd us and blind us and leave us empty, we find that we are filled by the Spirit. I was inspired by Alex Merchant's journey. It couldn't be any more removed from glamping. Because you could see at the beginning of the journey, he was clean shaven. But by the end of the journey, he had a full beard. He had to be willing to get dirty, to give up his comforts, to go to the unknown, and to be with people that he didn't know from various backgrounds and worldviews. See, to share this message, we must be willing to go where we are needed. We must be willing to journey through discomfort, willing to get dirty, to face challenges. Be willing to, even when we face those challenges and rejection, to not give up and to keep going. We must be willing to be leaders like Jesus, leaders that are willing to wash the feet of others and address the needs of others, to go beyond these walls and to go tell the story. Go and tell the story of Jesus' love. Go and tell how everyone is welcome. Go and set the table, not just here, but everywhere. Go out and serve the world, knowing that you have the authority to defeat evil and proclaim the kingdom and be instruments of healing and peace and love to everyone. So one last thing. I never heard of trail magic before this interview. Apparently, it's a pretty common term among hikers, and I Googled it because it is a Googleable term. And I found that it was actually common, but if you're not a hiker, you wouldn't know, and I already told you, I don't do hiking. But I love it. Acts of goodwill towards each other that lifts up and inspires. Just as Alex Merchant shared his experience in the trail magic, he learned how much God provides. And he shared his testimony, and he shared the gospel, and he shared the trail magic. And we, as disciples, are sent out to share trail magic of hope, trail magic of healing, trail magic of love. Alex said that he built relationships with fellow hikers, and through that, he learned that they were trail magic too, because they reflect God's love and kindness. We too are to go and build relationships reflecting God's love and kindness. So go out and share your trail magic. Go out and be trail magic. Thanks be to God.